gentlemen, we have a very inspiring title to our session about equitable, inclusive, and effective global governance. And I do believe that all of you present here have participated in various activities and the implementation of these noble goals in the various capacities in which you serve or have served. What strikes me as I look at the news every day and examine the events in the world is that there are aspects of global governance or governance of particular countries that remind me of the days when I was a young clinical psychologist doing diagnoses of people with severe neuroses and difficulties in functioning. And I'd like to maybe point out to some psychological factors that play against us achieving the noble goals of, let's see them again, get them exactly, equitable, inclusive, and effective global governance. What is it that we see in the world? If somebody has nuclear weapons, in other words, they have force, they have the capacity to destroy, it seems to be accepted as almost a given that one has to accommodate them. One has to try to please them. One has to placate them, even if it should be done at the expense of somebody else. In fact, preferably at the expense of somebody else. And indeed, if we look to solutions to military conflicts or other situations of the kind, it seems accepted that large countries, possessors of nuclear weapons, can decide. We were planning to have meetings between, say, two heads of state who are going to decide the fate of a nation that meanwhile is being aggressed and destroyed, both physically and humanly. They are going to meet because they possess human resources, they possess nuclear weapons, and they have very large countries and great economies. They are going to decide the fate of others. Now, that is not global governance, that is global tyranny. The other tyranny is what Zlatko mentioned, the tyranny of money. Increasingly, some countries are actually where openly run by oligarchs. And if ancient Greece had a certain period where it was run by an oligarchy, now there's more than one country that is run by the power of money. And the concentration of money, the increasing size of the Gini index across the world is an extremely alarming trend, and it goes against what we would hope for global governance. If technological development, the progress of artificial intelligence, the new discoveries and scientific feats and technological achievements, if these serve only the same handful of people who already have a concentration of wealth in their hands, then the common good of their country at large or the world at large is not being served. And the third factor is fear. And there seems to be, it's become a tool of both national, at the national level and international level, you might say polytechnologists have discovered that working on people's fears and on their resentments and on their suspicions is a way of pushing buttons, as it were, to the weaknesses of human character. I remember as a young psychologist being faced with a patient who told me this. But I asked her what was her most serious problem. She said, everywhere I go and everything I do, I meet up with people who make me angry. And I don't know what to do because be it in my family, Everybody is busy making me angry. And if I go outside and I meet other people and so on, everywhere I'm faced with people who make me angry. And the patient could not accept or realize that the anger that she was feeling was coming from inside herself. It was her own unhappiness about various events in her life and the way she interpreted them. She was projecting onto the world the feelings that she was carrying herself inside. I think that this is one of the most serious human weaknesses, this projection of anxiety, insecurity, doubt, fear, especially fear in front of the unknown, and fear of the future, uncertainty, resentment, jealousy, all negative emotions that humans are heir to. They are being worked, if you like, with special political technologies nowadays. Parties are being created on a flimsy basis of so little rationality as saying that vaccines not only do not protect you against contagious diseases, but on the contrary, they make you iller and so on. And whole parties have been created on the simple fact of denying vaccination. So in other words, in the political system, we now have movements that are based on irrationality, on irrational fears, and on affirmations and declarations that are absolutely invented, non-existent, and contrary to reality. So that, to sum up, I think that the way information is being treated in our modern world, the digitalization of public discourse is going to be a challenge for the future governance of countries everywhere. In those countries that achieve technological levels of electronic communication, I think the political scene is going to be completely changed, and the political processes will have to take into account the pernicious effect of disinformation, misinformation, and if you like, it's going to become part of hybrid warfare between countries in the most significant way. I hope my colleagues here have some positive solutions to these kind of problems that they might propose. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm not going to